And now, here is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. Have you ever wondered if people who write to the editors of various newspapers have ever had a course in logic or know anything at all about ethics? I suspect that most of them have not had such a course in logic or in ethics, but common, everyday good sense should keep them from making grievous blunders, both logical and moral. I could furnish you hundreds and hundreds of examples of those who have failed to use their God-given ability to think logically when they write articles to newspapers. I shall give you just one example. On Saturday, June the 1st, 2002, the Tennessean published a letter with the title, "Divorce is More Immoral Than Gambling." The paper published this letter during the time our legislators were working to legalize lottery in our state. I'm sure that the author of the letter thought she was making a substantial intellectual contribution to the political atmosphere in Tennessee. But her letter should be an embarrassment to right-thinking people. She mentions a letter from someone who thinks the lottery is immoral. She admits the person who wrote to the editor has a right to his opinion. She wonders why the people should not be more concerned about the morals of congregations in matters of divorce. She says that divorce is in epidemic proportions in Tennessee. She claims to know very few people in our state who are still married to their first spouses, or for that matter, their second or third spouse. She then observes, "Infidelity runs rampant, and you consider lottery immoral." Page 14a. Responding to every logical blunder in these two paragraphs would take many lessons, but I plan in this lesson to examine as many of the logical blunders as time will allow. She affirms that Southern Baptists and Methodists think the lottery is immoral. I do not claim to speak for the Southern Baptists or for the Methodists, although I believe I know the moral values of many of them and of thousands of other devoutly religious people. I do not have a book on gambling by a Methodist scholar, but I have several by Baptist writers. For example, Dr. Norman Geisler and Thomas Howe wrote a splendid little book with the title, "Gambling, a Bad Bet." Geisler and Howe discuss the chances of winning in the lottery. The chances vary from 1 in 600,000 in Kansas to 1 in 14 million in California and Florida. The average odds are about 1 in 5 million. Page 17. They quote these words from the Old Testament, "Thou shalt not steal," and "Thou shalt not covet," Exodus 20, 15 and 17. God told the Israelites, "You shall not defraud your neighbor, neither rob him," Leviticus 19, 13. The lottery is both theft and greed. It defrauds and robs people. Those who promote the lottery, from Senator Cohen in Memphis to Rebecca Paul in Nashville, are companions of thieves. Tom Watson Jr.'s book, "Don't Bet on It," quotes psychologist Julian I. Tabor as saying, "No one knows the social costs of gambling, or how many players become addicted because the states, ignoring the concerns of experts on compulsive gambling, have failed to do any research before leaping into the gambling business. The states are experimenting with the minds of people on a massive scale." Page 18. Ross Coggins, former director of communications for the Christian Life Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention, edited a splendid little book with the title, "The Gambling Menace." Coggins tells of someone who asked Herbert Miller, at one time an assistant United States Attorney General in charge of criminal prosecution, "Is there a connection between gambling and crime?" He answered, "Yes. It's a man on a meat hook we discovered in a San Francisco warehouse. It's a man in a car dynamited in Cleveland, Ohio. Maybe he deserved it, but his 13-year-old son did not deserve to be blinded for life." Page 5. "Is gambling immoral?" "Always immoral." "Yes. 1,000 times yes. Gambling bankrupts thousands and thousands of individuals and families. it always introduces a substantial amount of crime, often violent crime, into every community wherever it is legalized. It increases the rate of suicide among gamblers and in their families. It steals the money families would normally use for educating children, or for buying a home, or for paying insurance premiums. Oddly enough, gambling even causes fathers to take money from their children's piggy banks. Those who deny these facts are either hard-hearted, or ignorant, or both. I'm not for one minute denying the enormous damage divorce does to our nation and to the individuals involved. I have worked with troubled marriages for more than a half century. I know the heartaches and sorrows divorce engenders. In some cases, divorce is more difficult to handle than the death of a spouse. But what is particularly distressing is what divorce does to children. The sad fact is that many people never get over the divorce of their parents. I remember speaking on divorce on a lectureship in East Tennessee. I mentioned the fact that many people suffer for years because of their parents' divorce. At the end of the lecture, a man in his 70s told me that his parents were divorced when he was a child. He said he still suffered because of the divorce. How utterly inexcusable for parents to behave in such a way as to disturb, discourage, and distress their children. After all, children did not ask to be brought into this world. The author of the letter I am reviewing says she knows very few people in this state who are still married to their first spouse, or for that matter to their second or third. Page 14a. That really is a strange statement. I know literally thousands of people across the United States since I have been preaching for more than 60 years in this nation. Of course, I know many people who have been divorced, but the numbers are really very small. The majority of the people I know have never been divorced and have no intention of ever being divorced. And I do not know one person, not even one, who has divorced his second or third partner. Do you get the impression the letter writer was exaggerating the divorce situation to make a point about gambling? She claims to know very few people who have not been divorced one, two, or three times. I know very few people who have been divorced even one time. The letter writer failed to acknowledge one aspect of gambling, and that is, gambling is a major factor in thousands and thousands of divorces. There are men who spend virtually every cent they make on gambling. Their wives often have to go to work outside the home, even when there are small children, because the husband wastes his money on gambling. Sometimes women become disgusted with that arrangement. They figure they are better off without such a shiftless, no-account gambler. So their marriage ends in divorce because of the husband's gambling. As anyone ought to be able to see, gambling contributes to divorce. Does that bother Steve Coyne or Rebecca Paul or other gambling supporters? If it does, there is no evidence of it. They could care less so long as the state is making money and the gamblers are having a good time. There is one thing for sure. All parents, religious leaders, and other concerned moral people should do all within our power to strengthen homes. Homes that are founded on the Word of God are less likely to end in divorce. So parents should instill biblical moral values in the hearts of their children. There are no guarantees, but that would be a step in the right direction. Churches must demand that their preachers teach the truth, all the truth and only the truth, on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. In the words of the Apostle Paul, we must preach the whole counsel of God, Acts 20:27. If we fail to do so, God will hold us accountable for our failures, and marriages will not become stronger, more of them will end in divorce. The letter writer affirms that infidelity runs rampant, and you consider lottery immoral. I cannot figure out what one has to do with the other. Of course, infidelity runs rampant in our society. What do we expect in modern times when popular music, television, and the movies glorify adultery? The soap operas almost never show marital intimacy in a good light. but they leave the impression that extramarital sex is more exciting, more beautiful, and more fulfilling. They promote one of the devil's favorite devices for leading good people into soul-condemning sin. And when religious leaders by the thousands become involved in sleazy and immoral sexual behavior, what do we expect from others? Chaucer asked in the Canterbury Tales, "If the shepherd is dirty, what can we expect of the sheep?" I sanitized Chaucer's question, but I have given you the gist of his thought. Men and women not only engage in stupid behavior when they gamble, whether on the lottery or on casinos or on horses, they're also morally stupid when they commit adultery. By divine inspiration, Paul affirmed that those who commit adultery shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Galatians 5:19-21, 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. Paul exhorted the Corinthians, many of whom had been involved in every conceivable form of sexual immorality. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is without the body, but he who engages in sexual immorality sins against his own body. What? Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6:18-20. Since we are members of the body of Christ, when we join our bodies to anyone other than our spouses, we are joining our Lord to those immoral persons. All people who engage in sex outside marriage are immoral. Always immoral. There is more in the letter to the editor of the Tennessean, but I must ask you some questions before we examine two other statements in the letter. The author of the letter says, "Divorce is more immoral than gambling." What does that have to do with anything? Even if we concede her point, and I have no problem doing that, does that mean gambling is not immoral? Let us try her reasoning on other matters. Raping a child is more immoral than stealing a handgun from a sporting goods store. I mention that particular item because I had persons to steal handguns from my sporting goods store in Georgia. When a person is arrested for stealing, would the court reduce his punishment or remove it altogether if the thief were to say, "But raping a child is more immoral than stealing a gun"? Today in Iraq, some Baptist missionaries were shot to death. They were working to restore some sanity to the nation. If the men who shot the missionaries are caught, and I pray to God they will be caught and executed, how would reasonable people react if the vicious criminals were to plead? Killing those three Baptist missionaries was not so immoral as killing 200 innocent people in Spain. If a criminal were to make such an argument, he ought to be convicted for his stupidity. But that is the kind of argument the letter writer makes about gambling and divorce. Recently, a mother has been arrested because she did not listen to the advice of her doctor. She was carrying twins in her body. The doctor advised her to have a cesarean section. She refused to do so because of the scar she would have from the operation. One of the children died because of her neglect. When she is brought to court for her refusal to follow the doctor's orders, she should plead, "Failure to have a cesarean section is not so immoral as killing 9 people, as the man in California did." There are some very difficult constitutional issues involved in the woman's case, but claiming her behavior is not so immoral as someone else's behavior would make no sense, either legal or moral. But it would make as much sense as arguing divorce is more immoral than gambling. The author of the letter says, "Sounds to me that the priorities are a little confused, as I always thought of matrimony as a sacrament." Page 14a. There is no basis in Scripture for calling marriage a sacrament. The idea did not originate in the Word of God, but with men. Marriage is an ordinance of God, not a sacrament. And I thoroughly agree with her that many Americans have their priorities a little confused, or more than a little confused. If they did not have their priorities confused, they would not spend the family's income on gambling. Recently, one of the members where I preach talked with a man who had won $18 on the lottery. He asked the gambler how much he had to spend to win $18. The man admitted he had spent $50. I could do much more for the gambler than that. If he will give me $50, I will be glad to give him $36 in return, two times as much as he won on gambling. Can you believe anyone would be bragging about how much he had won when he had lost so much? Is that not a way to end up on public welfare? Except for the honor of being a member of the body of Christ, no greater blessing has come into my life than having Molly as my wife and having children and grandchildren. I wanted Molly and my sons to respect me as the head of our home. Molly was unquestionably one of the sweetest persons ever to grace God's footstool. I have no doubt she loved me, but her love would not have endured if I had spent our income on gambling. She had no respect for men who mistreated their families through gambling or drinking or carousing. I would not have betrayed her trust for all the money in the universe. Besides, I want my Lord to approve of my behavior. I know He does not approve of greed, and that is exactly what gambling is, greed. And greed is idolatry. Colossians 3:5. Am I saying that Steve Cohen, Rebecca Paul, and other pro-gambling people are promoting idolatry? Yes. The woman who wrote the letter to the editor of the Tennessean concluded her article by arguing, gambling is a source of amusement that is not considered a sin. Adultery is. Page 14a. Is gambling a source of amusement? It is for millions and millions of Americans. What does that prove? It proves that gambling is a source of amusement. Nothing more. Are all sources of amusement legitimate? There are people who steal as a source of amusement. Many of them do not need the items they steal. Some of them have closets full of dresses and other merchandise they have stolen. They get a thrill from stealing. Some of them are rich and could buy whatever they want or need. But they like the challenge of stealing. Is stealing moral just because it is a source of amusement for some people? And gambling is theft, legal theft, but theft nevertheless. Those who promote gambling are companions of thieves. Thousands of our young people destroy mailboxes, plunder school buildings, paint graffiti on public bridges and other structures. They are not making money from such destructive behavior. Why do they engage in that conduct? It is a source of amusement for them. Some of our children and young people, and some not so young, make and sell illegal drugs such as methamphetamine. I am aware that some of them make the drugs so they can sell them. But making and using illegal drugs are often sources of amusement. Are those kinds of behavior not so bad as sexually abusing little children? Does that kind of thinking make sense to reasonable people? Destroying other people's property, making and selling illegal drugs, driving under the influence of beverage alcohol are evil, always evil. Promoting gambling, including the lottery, is evil, always evil. And it makes absolutely no sense to say gambling is not so immoral as divorce. That may be true, but that has nothing to do with the morality of gambling. Tragically, state leaders have little respect for homes and for individual lives when they legalize and promote gambling. While I do not claim to be able to predict the future, I suspect that some of those legislators who voted to legalize gambling in our state will live to regret it. They will witness the dissolution of many families, the corruption of our communities, and the destruction of many people's lives. It has happened wherever gambling has become legal. Why do we think Tennessee will be different? The letter writer says, gambling is a source of amusement that is not considered a sin. Considered by whom not to be a sin? It certainly is not considered by most gamblers to be a sin. But what has always impressed me about gambling is that most godly people, the ones most devoted to pleasing our God, are the ones who almost always oppose every form of gambling. That ought to tell us something about the evils of gambling. That ought also to inspire all of us to use our voices and our votes to remove this great evil from the face of God's earth. One final word to State Senator Steve Coyne from Memphis. The battle is not over. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.